Well, it was interesting when I was asked if I would fill in for those that didn't go out on prayer walks. It's like the Lord gave me a direction. And He gave me the words, internalize the word. Internalize the word. And I was thinking about starting in the book of John, chapter 1. And it's just kind of interesting how it's developed. It's like I'm having to depend on the Holy Spirit because I don't know exactly where this is going. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your promise, Lord. And, Lord, I'm stepping out of the boat, and I'm believing, Lord, that You're going to lead and guide and direct, and that Your will be done tonight in the name of Jesus. I thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence. Thank You for Your power. Lord, You've never left me. You've never forsaken me. You've always been there for me. And I thank You for that. And Lord, I'm trusting in Your grace right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank You for it in Jesus' name. As we talk tonight, I'd like you to put yourself into the story. I remember a boss that I worked for. Years ago when I was driving the school bus and going to college. And we had got a few Christians that we would gather together. I don't remember whether it was once a week, I think, maybe we got together. And we would pray. We had a list of all the bus drivers, our bosses and everything, and we would pray, every single one of them, cover every single one of them. And it was interesting because one of the main bosses, she was kind of into New Age stuff. And she definitely was not Christian. And she went on a visit over to see her daughter, I think, somewhere back east. And she ended up in a church over there. And at one point, she was going to get up and leave. But she lost her way, and she ended up getting into this room where people were praying. So somebody asked her, can we pray for you? And so, okay, so they prayed for her. She got saved, dramatically saved. And when she got into the Word of God, it's like she was in the story. I mean, she just got into it. And this is kind of an idea what I'd like you to think about tonight. Get into the story. The word, what good does the word do if it just, you know, and skips right off? Just saying it. We need to internalize it. We need to let it become a part of us. It's like a seed that's planted within us that has to grow in there. And so I'd like you to consider that. Put yourself into the story. Go deep. So we're going to start in John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. This is Jesus, and He's talking here. He says, He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name. I want you to think about this for a minute. You think about a God that created the heavens and the earth. And He created man to have fellowship with Him. And of course, God knew in advance what was going to happen. He knew that man was going to sin, and He had the whole plan laid out to take care of. He was going to do it. But imagine man getting to the point to where they don't even recognize that there's a creator. You look at our world out there today, how many people that don't even believe in God? Or if they do, it's like, well, He's dead somewhere, isn't buried, you know. They're still looking for His tomb over there, you know, and they've never found it because it's empty. Any tomb that was there is empty. So you think about He came to His own people. To the Jewish people, to the Jewish nation, He came to His own. And they didn't believe Him. They didn't recognize Him. They didn't receive Him. But As many as received him, to them gave he the right or the power or the authority to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And sometimes we may wonder, why is there such a gap between God, who created the world, and mankind? How come God can't seem to get connected? How God created the world. He created people and everything. Why is it there's this huge gap between God and between people? Why does the world refuse or choose not to believe in God? I mean, they choose not to believe in God. I think down deep in their heart, they know better, but they choose not to believe in God. And I like to explore some thoughts and look in God's words and give us something to chew on and internalize. I'm reminded of Psalm. The Lord is, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. What do you do in green pastures? You're going to eat. You're going to eat, okay? And then what do? When you lay down, they're chewing their cud. They're, in other words, they're re-chewing what they've just eaten. And when we get the Word of God given to us, we need to meditate on that Word of God. We need to chew it and internalize it and let it become literally a part of our life. And so part of the problem is that we need to chew on and internalize this to help our walk in Him. Because He's got to come down inside of us. He's got to come down inside of us. And we're going to be looking at several scriptures. And one thing that we have to keep in mind is that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are spirit beings. They were spirit beings. Jesus became flesh, but he wasn't always flesh. He was spirit. And so, but then remember this, God created man in his image, in the image of God. The man had a body, he had a soul, and he had a spirit. Why the spirit? Because it's through the spirit that God communicates with man. It's through the spirit that he communicates with man. And God the Son did not become a physical being with a body until the incarnation. And if you look at John chapter 1, verse 14, and it said, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Spirit being Jesus, the Spirit being the Son of God, the Spirit being that was always with God and was always out there and was never a time when He wasn't in existence. He came down and received the body. He became a living being. He became flesh and dwelt among us. And John says, we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so when He created us with a body and a spirit and a soul. So the way God communicates man is through the Spirit. But the problem is when man sinned, the Spirit died. And so in order for a person to get saved, we need to be born again. And what happens, the Spirit is brought back to life again so that they can communicate with God. Because without the Spirit, the world out there don't know God. They do not know God. So it takes a spirit. Our spirit needs to be made alive so that we can communicate with God. And so we're going to look at this a bit, and I'd like you to turn with me to chapter John, verse 1. We're going to read verse 1 through 5. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. It's interesting to note that in the beginning, in Genesis 1:1, starts with the moment of creation and moves forward to the creation of humanity. Okay? Genesis 1:1. But John 1:1 starts with the creation and contemplates eternity past. Goes backwards a bit. And we'll come back to this in a bit. Turn over to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Genesis 1, verses 1 through 5. Said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim wa et ha'eretz. In the beginning, God created. The word for created here is bara. And it's only used in scriptures when God is creating something. It's not man creating anything. It's God creating. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, just keep this in mind. Eternity. How long? Can you contemplate eternity? You know, we are born in time. You know, there's days, there's seasons, there's hours, there's minutes, there's years, there's eons. It just goes, how to contemplate eternity? And yet, at some point, we could say some point in time. How do you put that in context? At some point, God created the heavens and the earth. And yet, he existed forever and forever and forever before this. And he's going to continue to exist forever and forever and forever. You know, and to grasp that fact is really interesting. It says, in the beginning, God, in spite of its name, Genesis, which means beginning, and in spite of its position as the first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis isn't the beginning of everything. Genesis 1:1 reminds us, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. God existed in sublime glory. God is eternal. He has neither beginning nor ending. Therefore, he is totally self-sufficient and needs nothing more than himself in order to exist or to act. Get this through it. Get this through your mind. He does not need us. I remember an evangelist one time that came to this place and preached, and this one lady had a couple daughters that were not really serving the Lord. And he invited this evangelist to come over, and and he hoped that, anyway, she was really lifting up her daughters before him. I said, you know, my daughters, this one here's got all these kind of talents and everything, and this one's got all these kind of talents and everything. And she said, God really needs my daughters. And he said a statement that just shocked her. He said, ma'am, God doesn't need your daughters. He doesn't need, your daughters need him. Your daughters need him. So God, who always existed, who always was here, does not need anything but himself. We need to get that down deep in our soul. God does not need us. He does not need anything else except himself. Except himself. God has a voluntary relation to everything He has made. This is according to A.W. Tozier. God has a voluntary relation to everything that He's made. He created the earth, He created us. He has a voluntary relation to everything He's made. But He has no necessary relation to anything outside Himself. God needs nothing. Neither the material universe, nor the human race. And yet He created them both. So, if you can grasp this fact, God doesn't need me. God doesn't need this universe. He could just wipe us out and everything, and He'd go right on like He always has. But for the fact that God created this world, this universe, and created man in the image of God, and placed him on this thing, there was a purpose in it. As creatures of time, you and I can easily focus on the transient things around us, but it's difficult, if not impossible, to conceive what is eternal. In contemplating the nature and character of the triune God who always was, always is, and always will be, and who never changes, it is a task that overwhelms us. In the beginning, God. This one true God exists as three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 is a picture here where we can see all three parts of the Trinity, all three characters, if you want to call it that. Lord, pardon the pun. Verse 16 says, when He had been baptized, Jesus immediately came from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to Him. And He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon Him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, this doesn't mean that one God manifests Himself in three different forms. God the Son is up here, He spoke. God the Father was up here, He spoke. God the Son was down here being baptized, and God the Holy Spirit came down upon Him. Now, God didn't run around and do all of that. No, He was three persons. And yet it's interesting, and this is hard for us to figure out. God exists in three persons who are equal in their attributes and yet individual and distinct in their offices and ministries. It's interesting, Deuteronomy 6:4, I think the Hebrews call it the Shema. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And yet we see the Holy Spirit, we see God the Father, and God the Son came down in the Old Testament times and manifested Himself as a human to talk with people. They call Him the Angel of the Lord, capital A, Angel of the Lord. He came down and talked with people at different times. So there's three of them, and yet they're one. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. That's not a falsehood. He's one. It's hard to grasp the Trinity. But the divine Trinity planned redemption. The wonderful plan of redemption wasn't a divine afterthought. Well, let's create man down here on earth now. Oh, man, boo-booed. Well, we're going to have to come up with some other plan. No, it was not a divine afterthought. Not at all. It was not a divine afterthought. For God's people, according to Ephesians 1:4, God's people were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And Ephesians 1:4 says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Hang on to this fact. The fact that He knew before He ever created the heavens and the earth, before He created mankind, He knew that man was going to sin. He knew you, Phil. He knew you. See, God is everywhere at all times. He knows the end from the beginning. And He knows each one of us. And He chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Revelation 17, verse 8 says, the beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. So our names were written in the book from before the foundation of the earth. But these ones here, these are ones that are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the earth. When they shall see the beast that was and is not yet is. And He's given, it's given by the Father to the Son, both to belong to His kingdom. Matthew 25:34, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world. And to share in His glory, John 17, verses 2 and verse 6, John 17. As you have given Him authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as you have given Him. And verse 6, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. So the sacrificial death of the Son wasn't an accident. It was an appointment. He was slain from the foundation of the world. That doesn't mean He was slain right then, but in the eyes of God, it was as good as done because He was going to do it. Hallelujah. In Acts 2:23, it says, Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. So this was determined, it was a purpose, it was determined in the foreknowledge of God from way back. And He was slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation 13:8 says, all who dwell on the earth will worship Him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So in the councils of eternity, the Godhead determined to create a world that would include humans made in the image of God. The Father was involved in creation, but so was the Son involved in creation, and the Holy Spirit. Genesis 1:2, it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. God didn't create the world because He needed anything, but that He might share His love with creatures who, unlike the angels, were made in the image of God and can respond willingly to His love. So what's He looking for? He's looking for a relationship with us, that He can share His love and we can share our love with Him. It responds, goes back and forth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Godhead determined that the Son would come to the earth and die for the sins of the world. That was way back there. He died from the foundation of the world. And Jesus came to do the Father's will. John 10, verses 17 and 18. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. And the words that Jesus spoke were from the Father. John 14:24. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. From the Father who sent me. And the works he did were commissioned by the Father. John 5, verses 17 to 21. But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all the things that he himself does, and he will show him even greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. And empowered by the Spirit, Acts 10:38, empowered by the Spirit. You see, when Jesus came, he divested himself of all power. When he became a man, he divested himself of all power and totally relied on the Holy Spirit for the power of God. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The Son glorifies the Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And the Spirit glorifies the Son. John 16:14, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So the persons of the Holy Trinity work together to accomplish the divine will. When I see God created the heavens and the earth in Genesis 1:1, and it says Genesis 1:2, and it says, and the Spirit of God hovered over, Spirit hovered over the waters. When I can see there, I get the picture of God the Father, who wanted to accomplish something, and God the Son is the Word of God. We'll read that. We'll look at that in a minute in John chapter 1. God the Son is the Word of God. So the Father, it's like he has the thought. The Word of God speaks out the thought that the Father gave him, and the Holy Spirit is hovering out there to bring it to pass. The Spirit of God is the power of God. The power. He's the one that raised Christ from the dead. He's the one that created out of the mess that was in Genesis. He created it and brought it into divine order. So it's important to see that all three persons in the Godhead share in the salvation of lost sinners. All share. All have a part. As far as God the Father is concerned, I was saved when he graciously chose me in Christ before the foundation of the world. But I knew nothing about divine election until after I was converted. Now, I know you're getting a little close to a particular doctrine. But I believe what the Father could do, he could look ahead. He could see, for instance, at Bruce. Bruce was going to be willing to give himself to Jesus. He was going to be willing to turn his life over. And so God foreknew that. And that's the way, I believe, the divine election. You were elected by God. Way back foundation of the world. Because he knew that you were going to be willing to do that. So, as far as God the Father is concerned, I was saved when he graciously chose me in Christ before the foundation of the world. But I knew nothing about divine election until after I was converted. As far as God the Son is concerned, I was saved when he died for me on the cross, and I knew that great truth from my earliest days of my life. I was saved back there. The world actually was saved back there, but some of them refused to accept it. He didn't make any distinctions back then. When he died for every single person on this globe. And every person that ever lived, all the way back to Adam and Eve, and all the way up to the end of the age, he died for every single one. He paid the penalty for everyone. And so they were saved by God, but who was going to receive that? Who's going to step out and grasp hold of that truth and make it part of their own lives? Now, here's the interesting thing. But as far as God the Holy Spirit is concerned, I was saved in May of 1962 when the Spirit of God convicted me and I trusted in Jesus Christ. Then what God had planned from eternity all fell into place in my life. And I began this walk with God. Hallelujah. So it's like they were all involved. And when Jesus said, the Father is always at work and I work. And no man can come to the Father can come to me except the Father draw him. So you see, that God is involved in our lives. And when you contemplate the fact that God doesn't even need any of us, the fact that he created us and allowed his Son to come down to this and go through all the grief and the horror and everything of the cross, I want us to hang on to that picture. I want us to grasp that with everything that's within us. If God so loved us that much, that he didn't need this at all, but he did this for us, then why do we have such a tough time believing in God? Why do we have such a tough time believing that he can take care of us? Why do we go through life struggling with, well, God, you know, do you really love me? Certainly he loved you. He died for you on the cross. Certainly he loved you. What's changed? Why we grasp that fact? I want you to grab that word and get it down deep inside of you. God did not need you, but he created you so that he could have fellowship with you. Hallelujah. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, spiritual birth is something like human birth. You experience it, but it takes time to understand it. After all, I wouldn't even know my own birth date unless somebody told me. Now you think about a little baby that's being born. All he knows is that he's hungry, he wants to eat, and he wants to sleep, and he wants to, you know, cry out and whatever. He doesn't know anything. And a new Christian being born into the Spirit is kind of the same way. You're born, you don't understand it, you don't know, you know, what's all going on. I don't know, I'm learning, you know. And there's a process, you know, where a person then learns what's involved in that. But just like a baby, you know, it doesn't just all of a sudden, wow, I'm a man now. You know, that didn't happen that way, did it? It didn't happen that way. So it's after we've been born into God's family that the wonder of it all is revealed to us from the Word. And then we want to share it with others. Hopefully that's the case. We want to share it with others. Moses said it best. Deuteronomy 29:29 said, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do the words of this law. You know, I don't understand everything in the Bible, but there's some things I do understand. And the things that are revealed to us belong to us and to our children forever and ever and ever. And you don't worry about some of the rest of it. God will bring revelation on that as we study and as we hear preaching and as, you know, this kind of stuff goes on. We will learn more things. But just think, we who were created at some point in time are now going to be living forever and ever and ever. Yes, we had a beginning, but we will be going on forever. And do you know what? Forever and ever and ever and ever, thousands of years down the road, we'll still be learning more about God. We will not have grasped all that there is to know about God. He is so awesome, He is so mighty, that we cannot even imagine. God is big. God is great. Hallelujah. And the important thing is not knowing all that God knows, but it's in doing all God tells us to do. God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. He created us in His image to do something. And God has placed us, placed the members in the body as He determined, as the Holy Spirit determined, He's placed us in the body. Now I'd like you to turn to the book John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. Seems like I'm hitting on all this, you know, getting it from different perspectives, but that's okay. It's the purpose there. John 1, 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, here's where we have a problem sometimes. The Greek word, there is no a in there. The word was a God. But there's some friends of ours down the street that, from another denomination, that put an "a" in there because they believe that we can become gods too. Not so. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus is the Word. He's the expression of God. When God said, "Let there be light," it was the Word that spoke it out. When God said, "Let the waters be separated and firmament," and all this kind of stuff, it was the Word that spoke it out. There's power in the Word. Power in the Word. Mighty power in the Word. And if you look over, I think it's 2 Chronicles, it talks about the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show Himself mighty in behalf of those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. So it's like the Holy Spirit is involved in the sense that He's looking all over. He's looking to find faith. He's looking for somebody that's speaking out the Word of God. He's looking out, and He's going to come and He's going to use that. And He's going to bring it into life, and He's going to bring it into fruition. And sometimes, you know, it doesn't always happen just that quick. We've made some declarations tonight around this building, you know, and we make prayers for our community and everything, and, you know, and everything. And all that stuff doesn't necessarily happen all the time. But there's a seed that's been planted. The Word has gone forth. And the Word will not return void, but it will accomplish that which He purposed. And we have to believe that. The God who doesn't need us and created us has given us the Word that we could trust in and believe in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. As much as our words reveal ourselves, our hearts and our minds to others, so Jesus Christ is God's Word to reveal His heart and mind to us. I don't believe the Old Testament saints really really, I don't believe they knew what we know today. The Word of God, it was a progressive revelation of Himself through the ages. God just didn't come out and say, "Ooh, here, you know." No, it happened. It's a progressive. He only revealed some things to start with, and then he revealed some more, and went on a little bit and revealed some more. I believe it's just like a child growing up. You know, the child that's growing up doesn't all of a sudden, wow, he knows everything. No, well, sometimes they think they do. But a child learns a little bit, you know, and he grows up, learns a little more, grows up, learns a little more. And it wasn't time. In the fullness of time, then, God came down in the form of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In the fullness of time, when the time was right, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. So, Jesus Christ is God's word to reveal His heart and mind to us. He said in John 14:9, He said, "He that has seen Me has seen the Father." See, the Bible says nobody has seen the Father at any time. Jesus said nobody has seen the Father at any time. Jesus is the only one that's ever seen the Father. See, the Father's Spirit. If you were to look at the Father, you'd be incinerated. You'd be toast. None of us could ever, are righteous or holy enough or anything to be able to see the Father. So, Christ is the revelation, then, of the Father. Of course, He's God. But He's the revelation of God to us. And the Old Testament didn't have all the stuff that we know today. Because Jesus came down and He literally lived out how the Father was. He showed us the Father's heart. In the Old Testament, you know, it looks like He was pretty hard on people, you know. Man, you was a sin man, you're in trouble. Toast, you know. I always thought God was kind of a harsh taskmaster in a way in the Old Testament, you know. But Jesus came and really revealed the heart of the Father. It was God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to us. So God was the originator of it. We didn't pick up on that too much in the Old Testament until Christ came and literally lived out that life before us. Hallelujah. So He said, "He that has seen Me has seen the Father." A word is composed of letters. And Jesus Christ is called the Alpha and Omega. Revelation 1:11. He's the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. Alpha and Omega. According to Hebrews 1:1-3, Jesus Christ is God's last word to mankind, for He is the climax of divine revelation. Jesus Christ is the eternal Word, verses 1 and 2 there. He existed in the beginning, not because He had a beginning. Yes, He was born a son, but He was reduced to a seed and placed in Mary's womb. So it's like, He didn't start life there. The Son didn't begin life there. He began life as a human being there. But he always was. But He became human at that point. He existed in the beginning. Not because He had a beginning as a creature, but because He is eternal. He is God, and He was with God. And He said in John 8:58, "Before Abraham was, I am." I am is the idea. The I am is the idea. He always existed. I am. He told, remember when Moses went before, who shall I say that you are? He said, "I am that I am." Jesus Christ is the creative Word. There is certainly a parallel between John 1 and Genesis 1:1. The new creation and the old creation. God created the world through His Word. And God said, "Let there be," In Psalms 33:9 says, "For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." So God created all things through Jesus Christ, which means that Jesus is not a created being. He's eternal God. The verb "was made" is in perfect tense in the Greek, which means a completed act. Creation is finished. The main creation, you see, is finished. It's not a process still going on. Even though God is certainly at work in His creation, creation is not a process, it's a finished work. Now, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." So in these last days, He's spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the worlds. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power. I believe the world is sitting here spinning in place, and it keeps, it stays where it belongs because it was spoken by the Word, and it was so. It's held there by the Word of God. The sun up there is in its place. It's held there by the Word of God. All the stars that are out there, all the constellations, everything is there, and they're held in place, and they're doing their thing because of the Word. And we are alive and breathing tonight. I hope everyone's breathing here. If someone's not breathing, we're in trouble. You're breathing here tonight because God is giving you breath. All He has to do is stop giving you breath, and you're going to be gone. It's just that simple. We are held in place by the Word of God. Hallelujah. I think I'm going to stop there maybe and quit for the night. Lord, I thank You for Your Holy Spirit. And I thank You because You are so awesome to us. And when I contemplate the fact that You didn't even need us. You were doing just fine without us. Eternity. I can't even grasp that fact, Lord. Eternity. You existed without us. And yet at some point, You created us. And You loved us. And we're able to have fellowship with You, and we're able to have a relationship with You. You have the angels, but You created us to have fellowship with You in the image of God. Lord, I pray that You'd help us grasp this truth and get it down deep into our souls, that even though You didn't need us, You loved us and created us so that we could have fellowship with You. And so, we are Your people. We are Your creation. Lord, there's none like You in all the universe. In all the universe, there's none like You. But You loved us and gave Yourself for us. Even when You knew we were going to mess it up big time, Your plan and purpose were going forth. And Lord, You're not changing. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. and you're going to be with us to the end of the age. Lord, you give us power, you give us strength, you give us help, you give us hope in this life. And I thank you because your word that formed and created all these things, your word is still holding us and keeping us fast in you. And I pray that we will take that word and internalize it, make it such a part of us that we can't get away, that we can't mess up, Lord, that we're just going to walk closer and closer to you every day. And that we will learn to walk where we have been created to walk. That we would fulfill our destiny here on this earth and go over and receive a reward over there for what we do here. God, how awesome you are. How awesome you are. And I just pray, Lord, that you will help us to keep this in mind. Lord, help us to know that you are for us. You're not against us. Help us, Lord, that you are walking with us. You sent your Holy Spirit to be our guide, to be our comforter, to take us by the hand and lead us through this land that we're living in. And Lord, you're going to bring us through to victory. And you're going to present us faultless before the Father by the mighty power of your precious blood that was shed for us and by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that was given to us to take us on through. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, Lord, for all that you are to us. And I pray, O God, that you will cause us to walk, Lord, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Help us, Lord, to believe you and not doubt. Help us to be doers of the word, Lord. Take it in. Grasp a hold of it. Let it grow within us, Lord. Hallelujah. That we become your mighty warriors, Lord. Hallelujah. For the kingdom's sake, I pray in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. We give ourselves to you. We're praying, Lord, for a community tonight. We're praying, Lord, for a church. For those that aren't here tonight, we pray, God, that your love would reach out to them, that you would draw them by your mighty power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That you would quicken their hearts, that you would wake them up, Lord, that you would give them eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord, your voice and your words, Lord, to them, and draw them, Lord, into this place. Draw them where they need to be, Lord. We love you. We love them. They're part of our body, God. We want them here with us. We want them, Lord, to be enjoying the pleasures and the joy, Lord, that you have for them, Lord. Just have your way this night, I pray, in Jesus' name. We commit each one into your hand. God, we pray for those that are going through medical issues, going through problems, health issues. I pray, Lord, that you would reach out your hand and touch their bodies and restore them to health and bring them back, Lord. Hallelujah. Whole and ready to serve you. God, move upon our hearts, we pray. We commit ourselves to you right now in the name of Jesus. And we just love you and praise you and thank you for all you've done and all you are to us. In Jesus' name. Amen.